But I, you know, the Lord, in my devotional this morning, Rory and I, it's about Jonah. Jonah was a man, a prophet of God. He was called to go and minister and preach to a wicked, maybe we can call it the United States, Nineveh, maybe very much alike. But he was rebellious. He didn't want to go. And he hit him, he ran, he's trying to go as far from God as possible. And in the first chapter, where he went down into the hull of the boat, way down, and started to sleep. And it just reminds me of when Jesus was sleeping in a boat in a storm. He was tired. It's okay. But when we are rebellious and begin to sleep, when the men up on top were all praying to their gods, looking for help, crying out, the only one that had the answer to the storm in life was Jonah, the one true God. And where was he? Asleep. And I wonder if we are sleeping. As storms are coming, and they're going to get worse. And I want to read a Psalm 118, 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel, I'm going to put, and the church, repeat. His faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, and we are his royal priesthood too, repeat. His faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear, and that's all of us at times, the Lord, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. And the Lord said to me, so I will not fear. What can mere men do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph, not for triumph, in triumph, at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Let us pray. Father, as we come here this morning, we come here to worship you. We come to hear from you through your servant, through the gifts that you have given us. As we enter into this time of worship, Lord, speak to us. We are crying out to you. Storms are coming. Are we awake to be able to give to people the hope that is within us? Are we at peace in storms? Because Jesus was going to the other side, and his Father told him to go. No matter what the storms may come in our lives, Lord, we are to be at peace because you are the Prince of Peace living in us. So, Father, please speak to us this morning as we enter into your presence.
There is an end. I am loved.
Said, be ye holy as I am holy. Without your spirit, Lord, we cannot. Help us to be broken and totally surrendered to you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your holiness.
Holy, holy, holy.
not that cause. You know, all the gifts and talents God gives us, the crowns that we are going to get for our faithfulness to Him, we're going to recognize that anything we did, we're going to cast it at His feet. Amen? We'll recognize that it's not us, but Christ in us. Is there something that God has shown you, and not Him, that speaks to you this morning, that you want to thank Him, that you want to praise Him about? He's so good to us, all the time.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. And do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit, that your fruit, should remain with you forever. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Father, I just pray that each of us realize that first life that must be laid down for our friends is ours. We lay it down for you so that you can live through us, as us, and that you will bear fruit through us, and that fruit that you bear through us will remain. The world cannot see your glory because it does not recognize you, but it can certainly recognize the fruit that you bear through us, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And we cannot bear that in our own strength. Only you, living your life in us, causes that fruit. And in order for that to happen, we must lay down our lives for you so that you can live through us.
Father, I'm thankful for those in this body who serve each other in so many ways that we can't even count, whether it be bringing someone a meal, a word of encouragement, serving here on Sunday mornings, Lord, I'm grateful for all of those people that you place in this body, Lord, and I ask that they be encouraged by you, knowing that they are doing the work, your work, Lord, in touching their brothers and sisters.
Amen.
just a tiny offering. Compared to Calvary, nevertheless, I lay it at your feet. Such a tiny offering, compared to Calvary, nevertheless, I lay it at your feet. All that
victory.
Wants to hear anybody here other than you speaking, Lord gosh. Somebody do that through me or someone else in this body, Lord God. We ask that you would do it. Lord, we just surrender our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our ways, our whatever to you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, right now, Lord gosh. We pray that you would heal us, Lord, of anything that we're going through right now, Lord, any condemnation, Lord God, any you know the gamut, Lord God, that's going on in our lives, Lord God. Would you just let your healing salve just pour out on each person here, whether that's physical pain, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, emotional pain, Lord God, spiritual, Lord God, you know what's going on in our lives. We ask that you would minister to each one of us as we get into your word, Lord, that you would breathe life, Lord God, into your pages, Lord God, for your word is living and active, Lord God. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you make our hearts ready? Would you make it fertile ground, Lord, supernaturally, that your word would go in deep, Lord God, and that it would bear fruit, Lord. Would you water the seeds that have been planted, Lord God, today? Lord, would you do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever even ask for or imagine? We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, brother. Okay, hey, quick thing, a couple quick things before we start. Just something else. After church, potluck at the Weaver's house.
Today?
And that is today.
Oh.
Now, do you guys have any maps for the Weaver's? I don't even know.
There are directions in the back there, okay. Table back there, there's directions.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, of course, if anybody needs, if we run out or whatever, please see me. But it's up in northern Palmetto, just south of 275, just in the area. 41. But yeah, look forward to having everyone there. It's going to be a great afternoon. If you've got any outdoor games or anything like that, we do have volleyball and some other things set up, so it'll be a nice time.
Can I bring the bow and arrows again?
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. All
right. Okay, so that's today, and we'd love to have you. Everybody is welcome. Okay, sermon's online. You know that. But they're actually free. Thank you. Again, thank you guys who are, you folks especially that are coming here or praying in the morning before this service begins. Thank you so much for your faithful service. And Lord, just pray you bless them in Jesus' name. But you're all invited Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. and somewhere around 9:30 we start the prayers. But we want to invite you out to that. Also, Monday, is this next Monday, Carrie?
No.
Okay, we'll ignore that one. You don't even see that. And Gary, it is this Tuesday, yes?
Yeah, we're going to learn about when David goes crazy.
When David goes crazy. That's right. 1 Samuel, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, in the book of 1 Samuel. If you guys haven't come out to that, you're missing a really awesome time. And so it's men's Bible study and dinner at 6 p.m. So come on out. Also, youth group at Manatee County Youth of Christ. We're learning about the second half of how to hear from the Lord. And one thing that I thought was really awesome that Mark kind of brought out and shared with us was that, you know, in the beginning, you know, when God created us, he created us for a relationship with himself, right? He created us, he breathed that life into us, but he created us with that, he used to walk in the cool of the garden with that need. He made us for a relationship. But he said if we ate from the tree of good and evil that we were going to die. Now, there wasn't a physical death, there was a spiritual death. And so if you wonder why that you can't hear from the Lord sometimes, it could be, John 8:47 says, the reason you're not here maybe is that you do not belong to God. And so the first step in really hearing the voice of God and learning to hear the voice of God is surrendering him. We don't have that spirit. That relationship was broken. It died back in the garden. And God wants to renew that. That's why Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's why when you become born again, something supernatural takes place and God reopens those lines of communication and relationship to us so that we can learn to hear the voice of God. And so that's an exciting thing. So I thought it was really great. And so we're going to be finishing up that discussion. That's at Manatee County Youth of Christ. Everybody's invited. That is so cool, God. You know what? Sometimes when I'm sitting here and I know what's coming down the pipe, and I'm looking at the people and things, and I think, wow, God, you've got a message for that person, don't you? Isn't that so cool? That's what God does. And so, God's awesome. Also, prayer night, praise and prayer, it's here, Friday, 6:30 to 8. We waited as long as we could. Hi, Alicia, come on in. It's like family. Come on in.
There's a room up in front here.
And so we would love to have you come out and pray with us. It was a really great time last time I came out. Okay, so Book of Jude. We left off. This should be our last teaching on Jude. It's been one chapter. You know what? When I initially started this, I thought I would go 1 or 2 weeks. I'm so sorry. It's been like 2 months, maybe 3. I don't know. But I thought that was kind of funny. There was only one person who most of my favorite teachers did like one week thing on it. Some did two. So we're at about 2 months. And only one person did it, and I thought he was crazy. It was John MacArthur, the guy by the name of John MacArthur. He had a bunch of teachings on Jude, and I thought, when I remember seeing it, I thought, dude, how could you go that long in Jude? That's a crazy thought right there. But there's so much in his word. It's so rich. All right. So we've been talking in the book of Jude, and if you remember, if you guys are just coming or just joining us, man, Jude was all about, hey, I just wanted to write to you about our common salvation, but the Holy Spirit prompted my heart in a different direction. And I had to warn you because of these false teachers. And he's gone, He's given describing their character, their condition, their heart. I mean, he's describing them all so that these guys really know, because they're coming on strong. These antichrists are going to be just picking off people, stealing people from the kingdom. And so, you know, at the end of this letter, he then talks again back to the believers and says, "Hey, friends, I want you to remember the things I've spoken to you." Because these guys have to be saying to themselves, "Holy cow, if these bad teachers, if there's so many, if they're so sneaky, if they're so tricky, what do we do, Lord? What are we going to do?" And so this, where we left off, is where we ended. And so if I could just have somebody read, I think we ended in roughly verse 20, but if somebody wouldn't mind reading verses 17 to 21, who doesn't mind reading? Who's going to be bold?
17 today.
Okay, one back to back. Okay. You get extra credit for that. Right?
Excellent.
Verse 17 to verse, let's say, I'm going to actually have you go to verse 22. Okay?
But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, "In the last time, there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life."
Keep going. May I have you do 22 and 23, if you don't mind.
"And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh."
Yeah. Let me go back to the grumblers and the fault finders. We'll read that. Okay. So the first thing here is basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that he's now telling the believers you need to do, God was calling you to do, and how we can avoid all these guys. And if we had folks that did this in this church, if we had folks that did this regularly, that if any sort of false teacher would come in here, or any sort of person trying to sway people after themselves or their thinking, it's not going to happen. And so the first thing was, number one, it says right here in the scriptures, in verse 20, it says, "But you, dear friends," the first thing is build yourself up. And we talked about that. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. And how do we do that? What did we go over last week? How do we build ourselves up? How?
God's word.
God's word, absolutely. We went through a lot of it, so we build ourselves up with the word of God. Acts 20, 32, what does that say again? Amanda Panda, will you look up Acts 20, verse 32 for me? That would be fantastic. As you're looking that up, you know, we went through a lot of scriptures, so I won't go through all those again. If any of these catch your eye and you want to talk about it, just let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to...
Was it Acts 20, 32?
Yes, I believe so, I am.
Ready?
I am just about... Ready. Okay, good.
"Now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified."
Yes, it's the word of his grace, kind of, that builds up. I hate to sound like, you know, so simple, you know, but really, that is. If you've walked with the Lord for a little while, here's one thing I can tell you for sure. When you're hot, when you're on fire for the Lord, you know what you want to do? You want to get to every Bible study. You want to dig into the Word in the morning, at night. You want to draw closer to the Lord. I mean, there's plenty of ways to do that. But you know that's where you're hungering. When I start to chill out a little bit, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Just chill it out. You know what's the first thing to go? I don't think it's prayer. What do you think it is? Absolutely. Because it's the Word that's going to wash you. It's going to, like the watering of the Word, is going to wash you. It's going to cleanse you. It's going to renew your mind. It's going to transform your thinking. That Word is going to build you up.
And if you're feeling like you're weak right now in the Lord, here's what I can guarantee, almost 100% of the time, you're probably not in the Word like you should. And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip. I'm just trying to explain to you. Well, but I just, you know, everything else is taken. Listen, you can make time for stuff, right? That's what I notice, right? I can make time for, what's that show I'm watching, Tom? I can't think of it right now. It's on Netflix, Blend, what point? Point of Interest. Okay. That CIA, whatever, SCIA thing. Okay. I can take time at night, even if it's like 11:30 at night, to get a few of those in. One or two. You know, just, I can make time. We can make time for the Word of God, right? Nobody here goes hungry. We make time to eat. Make time for the Word of God. Let it build you up. And yes, you know, your church can make an environment to build yourselves up. And or your family life, right? Maybe your friends, your spouse. But you know what? There's really ultimately one person who's responsible. And that's you. No one can make that decision for you. Right? It's your choice. If you're not strong in the Lord right now, maybe you're not building yourself up. There's a 5K run that's coming up here. I think it's the Bridge of Life. Superhero run? Is that okay? So I've never done it before, but I was wanting to see if anybody else in a while, I could get more information to see if anybody else wants to do that. But you know, I can tell you there was a time when I used to run on the beach and sprint for like a mile, okay, without even blinking. And now, like I told you, the last 5K we did, they were picking up the cones as I was carrying Zeke, gasping for breath. For our family. But so if you want to be strong in the Lord, remember, build yourselves up, especially nowadays more than ever, because in these latter days, I was teaching at another church earlier this week, and the Lord had me give that scripture that how in the latter days people are going to depart from the faith because they're not going to know their Word. They're not going to know the doctrine. And that now more than ever, we need to be building each other up in the Word and building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Yes.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3:10, which says, according to the grace of God which given unto me, and as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another built therefore. But let each man take heed how he builds. And it's in the context of, hey, there's a lot of divisive in the church, misusing the gifts, and people are building. And Jesus said, be careful. How you doing?
And this,
what
yes,
you're listening to.
Yeah. And who you listen to. Mm-hmm. The next thing we talked about was praying in the Holy Spirit. And we went over that. I don't think I went over that one verse, though. So if you turn to Ephesians 6:18-19, let's read this one verse together. Ephesians chapter 6. We already talked about this last week, prayer. But, you know, prayer is like the, you see this, there's an outlet over here. I don't know if you can see it. But everybody has like a phone, right? Cell phone. It seems like everybody, iPad, cell phone. You do too, Josh. Don't shake your head. Everybody's got one of these, right?
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you continue to play your iPad or your phone, whatever, or you talk on it, and what happens after a long period of time?
Battery dies.
And what happens to the communication, the person you're talking to?
It's cut off.
Man, that prayer is like that plug-in power that recharges your batteries. You know, Jesus in Mark chapter 1, do you know he did that? In fact, when I was teaching over there, I shared a scripture in Mark chapter 1 how Jesus was healing everybody in the town. It said that he was there doing that late. He brought the whole town, came and he healed the sick, and he drove out demons. He preached the word till late at night. And then it was amazing. And then the next morning, everybody was at Jesus' door. They wanted him again. They wanted to talk with him and be with him. And Jesus, and finally his disciples found him. And he went off, Jesus had gone off by himself to pray. A quiet place to pray. I probably would have slept in, hit the snooze button a couple times, ministering all night. Felt pretty good about myself. But no, Jesus got up early, it says. And he went and prayed, got recharged. And then he went back out, and then he said something that kind of blew the disciples away. He said, we're going to go somewhere else to minister. What? Today we're going to go over here. Yeah, but the whole town is looking for you. Yeah, I know, but the Holy Spirit is leading over here. So that prayer, that plugging back into the God. And is prayer, guys, just a monologue?
No. It's communicating with God
Almighty. It is. And that communicating is both ways. As you mature in your walk, it's almost more important. In fact, God wants us to make those petitions to Him, right? He asks us to do that. But it's almost more important for you to listen to what God's saying to you than it is what you're saying to God. Does that make sense? I hope that comes up with the right heart. You know, it's just as important, maybe even more so, the more you grow in the Lord. So pray. Okay, so pray in the Holy Spirit. What does Ephesians 6, 18 to 19 say? Somebody read that for me, Wendy Jo Lo. I think, Ephesians chapter 6, 18 to 19.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel.
I don't know what you noticed from that, but one thing that I noticed is Paul, the Apostle Paul, was asking for prayer for himself. Do you ask for prayer for yourself, or do you get kind of embarrassed for that? Why is that? I tell you, with me, sometimes I don't mind praying for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm good with that. I like that. Yeah, pray for others. But when it comes to sharing my own heart, sometimes I can be a little... Why do you think that is? Now, be honest with me now. What? Rebuke! You hear what he said?
Pride.
Is he right? A lot of times, yes, it is. I don't want to share. I feel like I'm the only one going through this. I feel like if everybody knows that I'm, you know, getting the snot beat out of me by the enemy, they'll think less of me, blah, 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 blah. Paul said, I want you to pray for me. Paul says, pray that I speak it boldly. Paul's like a guy, they stone him to death. He gets back up and goes back in the city. Yeah, he's saying, I need prayer, guys. I need that, what?
Where'd the strength come from? Came what?
That's it. Where does our strength come from?
Oh.
The Lord. The maker of heaven and earth. If you don't know the Lord in that way, there's a dynamic to your life that's missing. And God wants to invigorate that. He wants to jumpstart it. It's more than just, we thank you for this day. You know what I'm saying? It's life. It's... So pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, the next thing. Keep yourselves in God's love. Ooh, that's weird. Keep yourselves, it says right here in Jude, keep yourself in God's love. Go to John chapter 15, 9 through 10. John chapter 15, 9 through 10. What do you think that means? Why Jude is telling us, here's what you do. I want you to keep yourself in God's love. What do you think that means? As we're turning, as I'm turning, maybe. What do you think that means?
Pray to answer. It might be wrong.
What does that mean, do you think? Keep yourself in God's love. What does that mean?
Obey
God. Obey God, yeah. Dave?
Keep yourself in God's word every day as much as Father, as much as possible.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Keep it in his word, keep obeying, yeah.
Obedience, that's what I was
going to
say. If you love me, you'll obey my commands.
Oh, that's a good one.
Part of being in God's love is sharing God's love.
Yeah. God's not saying keep God loving you. You know what I'm saying? Because some of you think that if you do something wrong, okay, and yes, I'm thinking of me too sometimes. If I just do enough stuff wrong, I screw up enough, God doesn't love me, I have to work harder. You get it? It's not saying that. It's not saying keep God loving you. God does love you already.
I think it's understanding the God, not, and you can never get there. There's another scripture that says you can't get there, but trying to understand and comprehend the love of God. In Ephesians 3, really it's 14 through 21, but I'll just say 18. Say 17, start at 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And it's really saying that if you can just start to begin to try to start comprehending the love that God has for you, I think you can say that you can look at who you are without Him, and you can look at who you are with Him, and the victory that you have. And I think that we, speaking for myself, I forget that sometimes, right? And you can't really abide in His love without understanding, or at least trying to go there in your mind of how, like, to comprehend how much He loves you. You can't give it to somebody else until you receive it from Him.
You know, I think of, there's an old hymn, I think, that said, you know, keep under the spout where the blessings come out. You know, I can't remember. I might be, somebody can correct me. But it's basically, God's love is pouring out. You know, when we're, many times, it's just flowing out. It's like if you've got a shower, right? And, you know, sometimes you get out of that little, you know, shower zone. You know, you move a little bit to the left, and you're not in that stream of water. It starts getting a little cold, doesn't it? Your hot shower is not so warm anymore. And you start getting a little cold. It's you're moving away from God's love. You're moving away from that spout where the blessings come out. Remain in His love. Be obedient to His command. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers.
Yeah, I think God's love is always coming out. Mm-hmm. We just don't believe it. We aren't trusting. We want to micromanage because we're not trusting Him, or worry or fret.
Yes.
Or, you know, gain control of a situation, right, or, you know, whatever. And it's because we're acting like an atheist.
Yeah.
You know, instead of a believer who believes that God actually loves us and has things under control.
You already have His love. Behold the love the Father's lavished on you, that you become children of God. But our minds, or honestly, our relationships around us can stink so much that we think God's the same way. He's going to withhold love like that person did. You know what I mean? Yeah, somebody over here?
I was just going to say, John Corson described that. I was going to say the spout.
Yeah.
Keep yourself under God's spout. Stay in the Word, pray in the Spirit, and look for Jesus coming.
To me, it seemed like love others as God has loved us unconditionally. But it's hard to do that at times.
That's right. And the only way to do it is if you're just abiding in God's love and you're letting that pour on you. Because if not, you're going to find out you're going to be tapped out quick. You know what I'm saying? Mark.
Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. Love is not an emotion. It is not a blessing. It is not anything other than a decision and to lay down our lives and sacrifice for other people. After Jesus said that, He went straight to the cross. He showed His sacrifice. He showed His love by the sacrifice that He made for each of us. And that's what He calls us to do. Lay down your life.
Okay, the Greek word means to watch, to observe intently, to keep your eyes fixed upon. Fixed upon what? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to fix it. We'll be watching something, but we have to fix it on Him.
Yes. Dave.
We just can't talk about the love of God. We have to walk in the love of God, too.
That's a different story, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah.
Especially these days, isn't it? When the love of most grows cold. What does that scripture say? John 15, 9 through 10. Somebody have that? Wouldn't mind reading, Connie? Okay.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love.
Good. I think that's what you said, obedience. You know, remain in my love. Obey my commands. There's blessings that come from being obedient to the Lord. There just is. There's blessings and curses. It's your choice. It's my choice. But there is blessing. You can pretty it up however you want, but that's the bottom line. Obeying the Word of God. Obeying what He has to say. What about the next thing that Jude tells us is to wait. He said to build yourselves up in the Word of God, to pray in the Holy Spirit continually for one another, right? To keep yourself in God's love, and that just means walking with Him, obeying Him, loving God and loving others. And then he says one more thing. He says to wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how is that going to help us? How does that help? How is waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ, whoop-de-doo?
Gives us an anticipation of His coming very soon. So we need, and when you were doing that, we're alert.
That's right.
We're on our toes. We're watching where we walk.
Yes.
Circumspectly, the Bible says, carefully.
That's right. Because we're waiting. Yeah, that's good. Keep going. You're good. When you're waiting, you're anticipating His coming. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, 27 to 28. Hebrews chapter 9, 27 to 28. Somebody wouldn't mind reading that verse for me. It would be mucho apreciado. Is that really a word? I just made it up. Ray, would you mind reading Hebrews chapter 9, 27 to 28 while I'm turning there myself?
Get it on my phone here.
Oh, you got one of those fancy.
Well. What was it, 29?
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just as people are destined to die once, and as of that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him.
Yes. The Lord is coming again, and He's coming for those who are waiting for Him.
Mine says eagerly waiting.
Well, yours is better than
I know.
I do like that better, though, just being honest. I do like that better. Eagerly waiting for Him. It's not like, yeah, whatever, Lord. It's like, Lord, I'm waiting for Your comeback. It's having that expectation. Lord, what can I do today to encourage? What can I do today to bless somebody else, Lord? I know You're coming. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. You're bringing that salvation for those who are waiting eagerly for You. I want to be one of the ones that are waiting eagerly for the Lord. Not just sitting around picking my nose on my duff. I want to be eagerly waiting. God, what do You have for me? What do You want? I want to be doing Your will all the time. That's that kind of anticipation that stirs us up to love and good deeds. So to wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says in Jude, here's something else you can do. Be merciful to those who doubt. Be merciful to those who doubt. Okay, let's go to Luke. Chapter 6, 27 to 36. I need somebody who hasn't read yet. I doesn't mind reading a chunk of scripture. Careful, since I saw you raise your hand. Am I calling you? It's Luke chapter 6, 27 to 36.
I can read it.
Good. All right, Action Jackson. All right. Luke chapter 6, 27 to 36. He says, I want you to be merciful to those who doubt.
All right. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him also the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Yeah. Yes. He's kind of the ungrateful and wicked. That's not normal. Right? He says, be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. As you choose to obey your Father, as you choose to love your enemies, as you choose to do good to those, as you choose to pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you, as you choose to be merciful to those who are like that, God blesses you in the process. Now, the world wants to rub your little nose in it, but the Holy Spirit says, oh, God says, I'm so pleased with you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes, Hezekiah.
Like, at the beginning of that verse, it said, like, if someone takes something from you, like, I don't get that, like, if someone takes something from you, isn't that not all right? Like,
yes.
The Bible said, thou shalt not steal.
Yes, yes, it's not all right, but it's showing, let's say Joe here is at our house and he stole this really cool blue Bible from our house. I can't believe you did that. Really? Okay. He got saying you really wanted that Bible, and he just took it. You know what? I guess what the Lord is saying there is, you know, you could bring the hammer down, and you have every right to do that. Okay? But maybe God would just have you just bless him with it. Here, Joe, you want a bookmark to go with that Bible? That's not normal. You know what I'm saying?
You don't really have every right to, though, right?
You what? You
Scripture's
what?
It's not saying you have every right to. It's saying that you should, like, do nice instead of be mean. The world says you have every right to, right?
That's right. You gave up your rights when you became a believer. It's all his anyway, right? Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's all the Lord's.
We have to love Democrats.
Yes, of course you have to. You have to love independents, too.
But I think we get confused on that.
Well, yeah.
Talk like
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know what? Can I tell you something? Oh, I would try to do that. You know, I'm hoping that some of those candidates get saved. I'm Republican and on the Democratic side.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Just look at 2 Corinthians.
That's the heart we're supposed to have for everyone. What about, you know, I've watched people who are not merciful to those who doubt. They're Christians. They bring the hammer for everything. It's like they got the one tool in the tool belt. It's the hammer. You know? Hey, could you help me open this can? Oh, a screwdriver might work. You pop the lid. No, the hammer! Come on! You know? And it's they bludgeon people. He said, be merciful to those who doubt. And then it goes on to say, oh, wait, Michael.
Everywhere I go, I hear people talking bad about the politicians and complaining about this one doing that and this one doing it. But doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to pray first for those that are in authority?
I wish. That's a good point.
What if we were all doing that instead of knocking them and complaining about
it? I wonder. That is something to think about. I wonder. Think about this. How, if you think of all the time you spend, and you got lots of ammo, let's just be honest, right? Politicians. Okay, I'm not saying you don't. But if you spent half as much time praying for them as you did complaining or knocking them, imagine what could happen. The last thing it says is save and snatch others from the fire. That word save there in Jude is sozo, and that means to save from destruction. And that word snatch others from the fire is the same word used in 1 Thessalonians, I think, 4:17, where it says for us being raptured. The word is harpazo. It means to seize by force. And it's saying, save and snatch others from the fire. And so it's saying, man, rescue these people. They are heading to hell. That is the main thing. That's the course that you're on. Josh did a teaching a few weeks ago for the youth where he quoted a large chunk from an old sermon, I think by Jonathan Edwards in the 1800s, called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it talks it's about judgment and damnation and hell and how we're like one cobwebs away from going to hell without Christ. You're like one cobweb thread away from going to hell, right? But you know what? That's the truth. That's where you're headed. Save them from the fire. It's not okay if they don't know Jesus. Snatch them, save them, hold them back. It goes on in Jude, in those verses of Jude, where it says this, too. It says, be merciful, snatch others from the fire, and save them and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear. In other words, basically what it's saying is, you know, some are going to be saved. Just out of curiosity, I'll just raise your hands. How many were saved one way? By the mercy of God, by the goodness of God, by the kindness of God. Would you just raise? It was the kindness of God that brought you to repentance. Would you just raise your hand? Okay. How many? Okay. Okay. Keep your hands up just for a second. The kindness, the goodness, the love, the mercy, of compassion of God. Okay. Now, keep your hands down. Okay. Now, what he's saying is that's going to, but there are some too. It's saying, man, you know, it's the fear of God. You got to snatch them, save them. They're going. How many of you were saved by fire and brimstone? Repent, turn, or you're going to burn. Raise your hand. Do you notice that? It's about an equal amount. Isn't that interesting? You don't use the same thing for everybody. You have to be open to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's the goodness, the kindness, the love, the compassion, the mercy of God that will lead people to repentance. Sometimes it's saying, brother, sister, you are going straight to hell. You've got to get out of here now. Turn now before that lifestyle's ingrained in your head and your mind and you never turn back. That's where you're going, man. It's eternity. It's serious. Turn now. Repent. God uses both in our lives, and so do we. And so he's saying, I want you to do that. And then in the last part of Jude, and I love this, it's just in that last part of Jude, it's almost like he goes into, it says doxology. It says even hating the clothing stained by the corruption of the flesh. That's the last verse there in 23. And basically what that means is, It's a reference back to like Leviticus, where if you sin is like a picture of like a leprosy is a picture of sin, and if you had a leper was cured in the Bible, they would have to even burn the clothes of the leper, burn that leprosy. So in other words, like, man, I don't even want to be near the clothes stained with that sin, burn it. But then he goes into this awesome doxology, and that just means doxology is two words. Doxa means glory or praise. And logos, which means the word or to speak. So you're just speaking praise to God. That's what doxology means. Speaking praise. Some of you guys know those songs that they sing, the doxology. We were singing it this morning. But this is what he says. And I love this. And so I want you to really listen to this. And this is what we're just going to close with these verses here. But there's a lot here. So, Hector, would you please read verse 24 and 25 after he's going through all these things. I love it. He's saying all these false teachers, this, that, and that. And he's saying, this is what you guys need to do. And people are probably like, holy smokies, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this?
24 through 26?
Yeah.
To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior, you glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever.
This is the praise he gives. And this is the one thing I want to... Oh, I forgot to go through all that. Boy, that would be good. Oh, well. Give me just a second. There we go. This is what I just want to remind you of, that God is able. I want you to think about this. I need a few people to look up a verse for me. Would you raise your hand for a second if you can look up a verse for me and read it? Would you raise your hand? Chris, I want you to look up Daniel chapter 3, 17 to 18. Who else? Okay? Pat? Romans 4, 20, 21. Who else? Okay. Sue? 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Who else? Thanks. Connie? 2 Timothy 1, 12. Marley? Hebrews 2, 18. I want us to read this, and I want us to remember that God is able, because in every situation that you're going through, in every struggle that you're going through, God is able. That's the bottom line. When you boil it all down, you have to understand that God is able. You guys remember the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember? They wouldn't bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's God. Do you remember that? The weight of the world. He was a ruler of the world at that time. He made a statue of himself. Those of you who don't, you guys remember the story. He made a statue of himself. It wasn't of the bunny. You guys remember the vegetable? You know, it was a statue. He made everybody bow down and worship it. And there were three children of God there. And they said, oh, we're not going to do it. And he said, oh, yes, you are. I'm the king of the world. And he had the furnace heated up seven times hotter than it had ever been heated up before. So much so that when they were going to throw him in the oven, the person who was putting them in there burned up himself. Okay? He's like, you are not going to, you're going to serve me. And this is something, and I love this. And if you can etch this in your heart, if you can choose to trust the Lord in every situation you're going through, every situation, every circumstance, every trial, every hurt, every pain, every stretching that the Lord's doing, every gap between his promise and the fulfillment, whatever you're going through, then we'd be a lot better off. Chris, would you read that Daniel chapter 3, 17 to 18?
If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.
Yeah. Our God is able, king. I want you to know something, but I'm going to stand on God's promises. I know it looks bad, it looks hopeless, but our God is able to save me from this trial, from this fiery furnace that you're throwing me into. But even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bend the knee to the false idol. God is able. What does Romans say? Kind of think you had that?
Yet Romans with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in belief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to also to perform.
Now listen, what this is talking about in Romans is when God said, if I remember correctly, to Abraham, hey, you guys are going to have a kids. And he's like, what are you talking about? We're so old. How is that ever going to happen? He could choose to believe it or not. And there was a large gap between when they said God made them, hey, I'm going to make your children as numerous as sand in the seashore. There was a big gap, years gap, between his promise and the fulfillment of that promise.
25 years.
I don't remember the exact, but there was a long gap in there. Maybe God has made that promise to you, and you're starting to doubt, just like they did. Don't take it in your own hands. Hey, God said we were going to have, hey, let me sleep with the maidservant. Maybe that'll work better for me. You know what I'm saying? You need to trust the Lord. He hasn't forgotten about you. He has made a promise to you. He's going to fulfill it. That gap in between when God has promised you and the fulfillment of that is not God being preoccupied with more important people because he doesn't love you. It's preparation for your heart. That's what it is. He's preparing you like a caterpillar in a cocoon. If you got a little caterpillar in a cocoon and you open it up, you know what's going to happen? It's going to die. Part of it is the struggle to get out of the cocoon that gives it the strength to use its wings and to fly and to soar. That's part of what happens. So don't doubt God. He is able. He trusted in the promises no matter what. He is able to save. Okay? He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask for. Imagine, I just blew it. But anyway, that's another one. I don't think I have that up there, but that should be. I think that is Ephesians. Yes.
Ephesians 1:18.
That is right. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever even ask for or imagine. God is able.
Hebrews 7:25 is a good verse to read.
And we will in just a few minutes. Don't you dare jump ahead of me. Oh my God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. What about your finances? Some of you guys are panicking. Times are tough, right? Maybe we stop giving. This is not, I'm not going to tithe through church. I can't do it now. We can't give now. What do we do? We can't give to God's people now. We can't be generous now. We can't lend now, right? What does it say? 2 Corinthians 9. Actually, go 7 and 8. Who wants to read that? I don't remember who I had that. Okay, Sue, congratulations.
Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion,
for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Ooh, stop right there. You're going to use the microphone again. What did you notice there? Besides, God is able.
All.
Read it one more time. Exactly, Susie. Read it again, Susie.
And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Think God's trying to communicate something to you?
Yeah.
Because he knows we're weak, he knows we're wimpy, he knows we forget this stuff in the middle of the crisis, right? God is able to provide all these things to you in his time. We trust him. He is able. 2 Timothy 1:12. I don't even remember what that says. So who has that one? All right, Connie.
That is why I am suffering as I am. Yeah.
Oh, wait, yeah, Paul, okay. He's in prison. Paul's in prison writing this. Things aren't good. In the natural. Okay, sorry, Connie, go ahead. He's suffering.
Yet, I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day.
Yes. Well, this is a guy who's in prison, who's scheduled for death. What does that mean? He's able to guard. What is he saying? God is able to guard what I've entrusted him. What do you think Paul's given him? His what? His life. Absolutely. He is able to guard that. So if somebody comes in here and says, oh, Pastor Darren, you can't say a husband, you have, you know, marriage is man, or you're going to be in prison. Well, God is able to take my life and do whatever he wants with it. Well, if you don't bend your knee to Islam and you don't deny Jesus Christ, we're going to kill you. What do you do?
And your point is?
You know what? He is able to take my life. I've given him my life. He's able. He's keeping it safe. When this shell dies, I still live. I've just changed addresses. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 2:18 says what? Booyah, baby. Who has that? All right, Marley.
Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Oh, I thought I couldn't get out of this thing. This temptation was too great. No, he is able. Mm-hmm. He is able to rescue. Listen, guys, he is able to do that. No temptation is seized to accept that which is common to man, and God is faithful. He will provide a way out for you. God is able. In fact, it says, you know, he is able in that Jude verse. He is able to keep you from falling. Did you know that? You know, most people don't. They don't fall into sin. You hear that all the time? They don't. They don't fall into sin. It's not like, all of a sudden I went and had a ham sandwich at the local restaurant, and then I was sleeping with the waitress. That doesn't happen that way. I was on the internet one day, and a guy started talking to me, and so I left my husband. That doesn't happen. You get what I'm saying? What happens is you start giving a little bit of thought to stuff you shouldn't be thinking about. You start going places you shouldn't be going. You start compromising a little bit where you shouldn't have been compromising. That's what happens. You know, it says a righteous man falls seven times and seven times he gets back up again. Yes, because God is faithful there too. But listen to this. Go to what? Proverbs something. I can't remember where it is now. Rattles. Go to Proverbs. Oh, no, Psalm. Psalm 37, 23 to 24. Psalm 37, 23 to 24. Elijah, would you read that when you get there? Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. And hopefully I got the right. Psalm 37, 23 to 24.
Okay.
Oh, wait. What?
Verse 23, 24, Psalm 37.
23, 24.
Yeah.
If the Lord delights in a man's way, he will make his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him in his hand.
Amen. The Lord upholds them in his hand. Listen, there's a little story, there's a verse in James. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. It says, no one, when tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then when sin is full blown, it gives birth to death. It's almost like this. This is a little illustration, a little story that I thought was a good illustration. This is a true story. For 8 years, Sally had been the beloved Romero family pet. She was only this big when the family... Can you see that, my fingers? This big when the family got her. Such a cute thing. Only that big when they brought her home. But that wonderful pet Sally grew and grew until eventually she reached a length of 11 feet and weighed approximately 100 pounds. Then one day, their seemingly loving family pet Sally, a Burmese python snake, turned on 15-year-old Derek, strangling the unsuspecting teenager until he died of suffocation. Sorry, it's not a happy story, but it's a true story. Police said the snake was obviously quite aggressive, hissing and reacting when they went to investigate the young man's death, yet the family had spent so much time with the snake that they hadn't even really noticed. It's almost like that frog in boiling water. Do you know that story?
Yeah.
Like you put a frog, right, in boiling water, you know what that frog's going to do? Yeah. Immediately jump out. You put that frog in some warm water, and then you slowly turn it up to boiling, you know that frog will stay right in there, and it will die. That's the way it is with sin. You don't fall into sin. You walk in with your eyes open, step by step. The Lord's warning you every step of the way. Maybe he's warning you right now. Stop. Go a different direction. Change it. Before that little pet sin gets too big. And obviously, sin is like that snake. When it first enters our lives, we think it's harmless. It's almost cute. What's the big deal? It doesn't stay small. Every young person says, oh, I know it's no big deal. I can handle it. And then what always happens is it grows. And maybe we can handle it at the time. But as it grows, it becomes bigger and bigger, and then it begins to handle us. And then it always leads to death. Sometimes physical, sometimes emotional, sometimes the death of relationship. And a little poem just said, just one little sin, what harm can it do? But give it free rein, and soon there are two. And then sinful deeds and habits ensue. So guard well your thoughts, or they'll destroy you. Yes, buddy.
As Christians, we want to emphasize that scripture that talks about Satan is looking to see who he can devour. Satan's like a lion looking to see who he can devour.
Yes.
There's your answer, guys. That's what he's looking for. Those who have already been enticed by their own evil desires. He cannot attack a Christian whose desires are to serve God. He's only going to attack a Christian who has already been enticed by his own evil desires. So, to add to, you don't just fall into sin. The devil doesn't make you fall into sin either. You make yourself fall into sin. After you fall into sin, he drags you away.
Yeah. The devil has a little trap. He can set bait the hooks for you. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? A lot of times, we're giving him a little bit too much free rein. You know? Yes, honey. December.
Sometimes, when you said that snake looks so harmless, we can do that sometimes. Like, we just, in school, we have, like, quizzes or something, and we saw the answer.
That's right. Sometimes just you don't even recognize that it's a big problem. Absolutely. That's right. That's exactly right. And so, man, I just, you know, it says that to him who is able to keep you from falling. Do we need a Hebrews 2:18?
Yeah.
Now. God is able. Now, what do we do, though? It says, God is able to keep you from falling, right? And to present you before his glory without fault and with great joy. Well, how does that happen? I mean, maybe you're the person, maybe you've already fallen. Maybe you've already screwed up. Maybe you've already messed up, right? you're already down. Well, what do I do? What does that mean? That he's still, it says that he's able to keep you from falling, and he is if we walk with him, but he can present you before his glorious presence without fault. Glory, would you, I don't know, would you, I give somebody that scripture verse? If not, Glory, would you mind reading Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25?
Therefore, he is also able.
Oh, sorry, you start again, please. I just from the beginning. Hebrews 7, 25.
Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Yes. Listen, if you're there, maybe you're screwing up. You've already, you've not only fallen, you've fallen hard. God's saying, man, I am able to save from the uttermost. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. He is willing to take you and lift you out of that. There's a guy by the name of Billy Sunday that he used to say, he used to use this verse he preached on and say, God, it will save you from the guttermost. He'll take you from that pit, from the junk, whatever addiction you're in, whether it's porn, whether it's drugs, whether it's whatever. You're just a self-centered person. You can't get out of it. God is able to save you from that. Not only that, but he lives to intercede for you. When that happens, when you receive him as Lord and Savior, and Jesus comes into your heart and life, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at you, he no longer sees the knucklehead Darren Shettelbauer or the knucklehead Wendy Jo Lowe. He sees Christ. And he's going to present you to the Father, even with those stumblings, even with those fallings, with great joy. How can he do that? Don't you understand? I'm such a big sinner, Darren. I do understand. You know why? Because I'm a bigger sinner. And Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners. But think of it this way. It's almost like, I heard this illustration one time. It's almost like if you're going fishing, right? What does the fisherman boast about? Does he boast about the little guppy you caught?
Yay!
Or the little pinfish? No one, no, he wants the big grouper. You know what I'm saying? I was going to say the Jewfish, but you know what I'm saying. He wants the big fish is going to get mounted on the wall. Look, Dad. And so when one sinner comes to repentance, when you come to him, man, that's how he sees you. Oh, man, that's why the angel rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. You are clothed in Christ. He is able. And I want to leave you with this, just this last bit in Colossians. Chapter 1, 22. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Let me get there in just a second myself. Colossians chapter 1. Because of his death on the cross, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of him, because of you receiving him, he is able to save you from the guttermost. Look at Colossians. Actually, I'm going to go verse 21 and 22. And I need someone. Connie, you have that open?
I do.
I'd like you to read Colossians chapter 1. Verse 29. Remember, that's why Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Because before you give it all over to him, you don't have his Holy Spirit. That relationship with you and God is broken. You are apart from him. You cannot have that relationship apart from a born again experience. That's why he puts his Holy Spirit inside of you to restore that right relationship with you. What does that say? Colossians.
Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior.
But listen to this, Christian! Go ahead.
But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation.
Stop. So he is going to present you, just like Jews said. And how is he going to present you? Holy in his sight. Without what? And without what?
And
free from accusations. That's your Father. That's your Heavenly Dad. He's got you covered, so to speak. Jesus has you covered. If you're here today and you have not bent your knee to the Lord, you have to do that. Not only, well, I guess you don't have to, it's your choice. But you are alienated, you are apart from God right now. You are separated from Him eternally. That's not my word, that's God's word. But He wants to restore that relationship with you. He wants to make it real, life-giving, flourishing. And if you haven't done that, I say today is the day of salvation. I've asked you to come get somebody and say, how do I be saved? Just like that gentleman, I want to be saved. Maybe that's you. And right now, all you would have to do just in your heart and mind say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I am alienated from you, just like your word says. I recognize that I am apart. I don't have that relationship with you. Lord, I just give my heart over to you. I recognize that you died on the cross, that you bled for me, Lord God. You died for my sins, and you rose again from the dead, that I could have eternal life. And that same resurrection power, Lord, I want that in my life. Help me to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever have asked for or imagined. That's our supernatural God. Would you do that today in your heart and mind? Would you just lay it down and say, God, as much as I know how, I give you my heart and life. Will you lead and guide me for the rest of my days? If you'll do that, He'll change your life and He will do exceedingly abundantly more. How many here right now can say, and if this is you, will you raise your hand if God has been able to break that addiction, if God has been able to change your life, if God has been able to put you on a different path than you ever thought you would, you just raise your hand. If God has been able to do that, look around you. This is a supernatural God we serve. He is able.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Darren?
Yes.
The thing that I think, so many people think that, you know, this is going to be some glorious, booming thing that's going to happen to me, or whatever you want to call it. But it's so simple. It's just so simple to say, okay, Jesus, if this is what I'm supposed to do, come into my life, okay? That's it. And He makes the changes in you. You know, but I might, you know, I might have to give up partying. I might have to do this. I might have to do that. No.
Let him make those changes.
He makes those changes. And you don't, I mean, some people, I guess, are blessed with flashing lights or whatever you want to call it. But some of us weren't at all.
Yet God was able to change the world. Yes, there's a couple hands raised. Okay.
He is not only able, He is willing.
Yes.
He is, no matter what. See, I know all that I did, God, and I know that you can save all these other people, but I know me. Yeah. Guess what? He does too.
And he wants to.
Yes.
He's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
That's right.
Good word. Yes.
Jesus said that the highest form of faith that existed was just take God at His word with nothing else.
Yep.
Just take Him in His word, that's it. Without a bunch of flashing lights and lightning bolts and angels appearing. That's what Jesus said right out of his own mouth.
Take Him
out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's not easy to do.
In school, we're reading a book called Pilgrim's Progress.
Excellent book. Drink that milk of the word. Just like a little baby, you watch a little baby tape, you know, a little bottle or whatever, drinking that milk, getting big and strong. Pretty soon you'll be playing the harmonica. That's what we need as we grow in faith. It's a good word. Anyone else? God is able, and not only is He able, He's willing. Yes, and somebody else? So, sure, anybody? Okay, let's take a minute. Oh, you want to, God? It's okay.
Like what Mark said, he's willing, but the issue is, are we willing? It says here, if indeed you continue, that's not God, that's our choice. To continue in what? Our good works? No, the faith. Grounded, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So it's not let go and let God. Say, Lord, I'm let go of me, but I also have to persevere, partner with you in the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, being a minister. It's not sloppy agape.
Let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are able to do so much more than we could ever even ask or imagine. Lord, I can't even believe. Lord, it seems like I've got such a long way to go sometimes, and I can get stuck in that. But Lord, I can't believe where you've taken me from. Lord, I cannot even believe it. I never could have even comprehended it, Lord. And I know you've done that for so many others in here, Lord God. And I pray for those who don't yet know you in that way, that today would be the day of salvation. And for those who are maybe, who have fallen, Lord God, and maybe just feel so condemned or whatever, they feel they can't come back to you, I pray that you'd remind them that you are ready, willing, and able just to take them, just like the prodigal son, Lord God, with open arms back again, Lord God, and to present them to the Father, Lord God, without spot, without blemish, Lord God. And so I pray in Jesus Christ's name right now that you would speak to each one of our hearts, Lord God, something that you would have us to remember from today, Lord God. Lord, I pray you'd bless the rest of our day, Lord God, the rest of our week. Lord, we look forward to just seeing one another. Lord, we ask you to bless the time over at Nate and Erica's, Lord God. And I just thank you that for them, we're willing to open up their home so we can fellowship together. So bless our time together and bless our week that we may be faithful to you, Lord. We love you and bless you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys have a great week. Don't forget to grab those maps if you'd like to join us. And bring a dish to share if you can.